Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Welcome. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And I'm very grateful to be here on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, who've been here since time immemorial, so that I can share some music, some talks, some stories, and more with you. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday morning, as we're into December and the holidays are rapidly approaching. Yikes. It's all coming on a little fast for me, but I hope that you're up to speed and at the very least enjoying the hustle and bustle that seems to just be a natural part of this month of the year as the days get shorter and shorter, and so does the time we have to prepare for what happens at the end of the month for some of us. Anyway. Today on the show, we've got a bunch of different bits and pieces. We've got a piece from Danny about a new exhibition at a museum in Abbotsford about the 49th parallel, also known as the border between Canada and the United States, which these days is a lot more contentious, I suppose you could say. I'm gonna play again Danny's interview with BC Human Rights Commissioner Kasari Govender, because last week when I played it, there's some weird tech stuff going on in the studio, so I'll give you the opportunity to listen to that in its entirety. That is in particular about the toxic drug crisis and some actions that the commissioner thinks need to be taken. But it's also, we're in the middle of the 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence, which wraps up on December 10th, which is next Monday, with International Human Rights Day. So there's a connection there as well. And we'll hear a little bit more as well about the 16 days of activism. December 6th is the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. If you listened to Intravenous yesterday during this time, Nicole went over a bunch of what's going on, and I'll remind you now that here on campus at SFU's Burnaby campus, there is a memorial on Friday, tomorrow, a vigil at 12:15 and a memorial event from 12:45 to 1:30. So we'll hear about that, as well as a vigil going on in Halliburton. This is, of course, a national movement to end violence against women and remember the victims and survivors of violence against women. Anyway, there will also, of course, be music, and we're going to start with, as we always do here on the Thursday Speak Up, some brand new local music. This is from local pseudo supergroup. A band made up of members of many other bands who all rock. They're called Be Afraid. Their bio on Bandcamp simply reads, "A slug is always on its own. It's a lonely insect." I don't know if a slug is actually an insect, but I like the thought. And so this is from an upcoming record, which comes out tomorrow, called Dreaming. I'd Be Afraid. And it's called Don't Wake Daddy. Enjoy.
Oh,
is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Reporting from Abbotsford, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Parallax, the effect by which the position or direction of an object appears to change when the object is seen from different positions. Since June of this year, the Reach Gallery Museum in Abbotsford, BC, has been host to an exhibition titled Parallax, Perspectives on the Canada-US Border. Claimed as being the Reach's most ambitious exhibition to date, Parallax brings together rare archival materials from the historic Northwest Boundary Survey, dated from 1857 to 1862, with new commissions from Indigenous contemporary artists. With these two contrasting perspectives, the goal of this exhibition has been to explore the countless impacts of the 49th parallel on First Nations communities. The international boundary along the 49th parallel was a geopolitical invention by British and U.S. officials, engineers, and surveyors working in Indigenous territories in the 19th century. The contributions of Indigenous contemporary artists to this exhibition, as stated by The Reach, quote, explored the communities, cultural connections, and ecosystems that were here before and persist today, despite the boundary line's impact on lands, water, and collective imaginations. Offering multiple perspectives on this legacy, Parallax asks us to adjust our vision of the 49th parallel. On November 24th, CJSF was invited for a tour of Parallax, where we were shown the exhibition's various artifacts and contemporary works. What you're now listening to comes from an original vocal composition sung in Hulkamalam by Carrie Lynn Victor, one of the gallery's exhibiting artists. One section of the gallery was dedicated to Toistinat C. Swiss, an artist of Squamish, Stolo, Hawaiian, and Swiss descent. Her part of the exhibition, titled Remembering Kanaka Ranch, is a multimedia reconstruction of her own family's memory of Kanaka Ranch, which existed in what is now Stanley Park and Cole Harbor in Vancouver, BC. Due to her background, the project highlights the long history of Squamish and Hawaiian relations. During the tour, we asked C. Swiss how she wanted her project to be interacted with as one part of Parallax, an exhibition that largely focuses on the history of the 49th parallel.
Yeah, so this time period is happening before the border is put in. And so thinking about that time when people are traveling here, whether they're European settlers or Hawaiian settlers, and then also the Indigenous communities coming from their communities on the coast and other places, that they're all kind of traveling through all of these lands that we're all talking about in this time period, and different experiences are happening, and the border in this case hasn't started until maybe halfway, till the last third of the existence. It was about 40 or 50 years that Kanaka Ranch exists, and when it started there was no border, but by the time it is basically erased, there is a border. So thinking about that time period and all of these places, what is going on in each of those communities, what are the changes that are being imposed on them? And for us, we see the Hawaiians crossing over the ocean to here with no borders and no, you know, understanding of that other than cultural, territorial borders. And those of us indigenous people also recognizing that. And then I think a lot about when it's developing, because I share in here how many Hawaiians and other settlers are coming in, and they're all interacting with the Hawaiian and Squamish communities there. And they're all building stories, and they're all building community, and they're all seeing, they're all reading in the paper, you know, they're reading about when the parallel is coming together, when that border is being built. So I think a lot about, you know, not just the site, but about the changes that they're all going through. And I can do that because I think about my mother's life and when she was born in the 40s until she passes away last year, and I look at everything that changed in her life. So I can use that as a mental visual guide to what it was like for our community members to be witnessing not only the change, because all of a sudden a city is built around them, right? The bridge gets built, then the roads are built, then more buildings. And so all that is happening as they're like erasing Kanaka Ranch and developing it, but they're also developing this border. So all of those conversations, I think over the, I think there's like a 20-year period where all these changes are happening and people are like just trying to keep up to it all. And, you know, and I think it was probably overwhelming for some of them. But I think some of that, I think about the notes that my mother left. She wrote a book, which I'm going to get published, and I'm going to use that for the VR experience to help people, as you really stated, and I love that, to put a personal face to those individuals that were part of that change. So I hope that's not too long of an answer, but I feel like it had to be a very layered answer because it's so big.
The tour for this exhibition was given by Kelly Tieliu, the curator of art and visual culture at the Reach Gallery Museum. Once the tour had ended and we had seen all of the artifacts and pieces of art that the exhibit had to offer, we asked Kelly Tieliu what she hopes audiences are able to take away from this exhibition, Parallax.
That's an excellent question. I mean, I think there are many sort of possibilities for different audiences to take away something that is of interest to them. I think for settlers, there is a lot of history that is quite nuanced. Often the history of border demarcation in the 19th century originally is seen as a kind of two-sided story, with the UK and the US coming together to embark on this settler project, and the indigenous voices are often left out of sort of grand historical narrative. And so the exhibition is really an effort to pluralize that history and to really emphasize the multitude of ways in which border demarcation disrupted indigenous territories, lifeways, cultural and spiritual and linguistic practices. So that would be kind of the main important takeaway. But also, you know, as Sandra mentioned at the beginning, it's an exhibition that brings together historic material, photographs and watercolors and maps, along with contemporary work in a wide range of mediums. And so depending on different visitors' interests, there really is something for everyone. Indigenous technology is featured quite heavily, and the materials and practices that go along with that. There are elements of sculpture, there are elements of photography. There's a documentary that is quite long and so we didn't quite get time to spend with. There are kind of more embodied kind of works that invite exploration. So we hope that, you know, different visitors with different interests will find something to engage with.
Parallax, Perspectives on the Canada-US Border, will be available for audiences until May 30th, 2026 at the Reach Gallery Museum in Abbotsford, BC. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Share music and voices from genres and cultures around the world, reflecting you and the rest of your community. You make CJSF diverse.
Sorry, welcome back to CJSF, your campus community radio station up here at SFU. We're mainly located up on the Burnaby campus, but you can volunteer for us from anywhere. And if you want to get involved in any capacity, if you want to get on the radio, if you want to work behind the scenes, if you want to help us record live music, if you want to help produce PSAs like the one, or IDs like the one you just heard, all that, no experience required. We'll give you all the training and the materials you need to become the radio superstar that you want to be. You can email me, Jesse, CJSFPROG, CJSFPROG, or PROG, at SFU.ca, or you can just come by the station. We're in the basement of the sub, the Student Union Building on the Burnaby campus, room 1420. We'll have more talk in a little bit, but more local music coming in. This is a great, relatively new band who have just put out their first record, Girl with Shank. Came out November 1st, and it rules. This band has been gigging up a storm, playing lots of shows. Saw them at Catalano this year and a couple other places, and the record sounds great. So check it out. This one is called Get Out by Scarlet Fever.
Thank you. Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
This is County Close Up, news from Haliburton County with Elizabeth Oakley.
On December 6, 1989, a gunman entered an engineering class at École Polytechnique in Montreal with an illegally obtained semi-automatic rifle and a hunting knife. He ordered the women to one side of the classroom and told the men to leave. After saying he was fighting feminism, he shot all nine women in the room, killing six. The shooter then moved through corridors, the cafeteria, and another classroom, specifically targeting women to shoot, for just under 20 minutes. He killed another eight before turning the gun on himself. A total of 14 women lost their lives that day. The massacre was an anti-feminist attack. The anniversary of the massacre is commemorated as the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. The incident led to more stringent gun control laws in Canada and increased action to end violence against women. But in the years that have followed this horrendous attack, despite the efforts of the criminal justice system, women in Canada are still being abused and in some cases killed by their intimate partner. In fact, 75% of homicides in 2024 were women killed by their partners. That's why Nora Stewart, president of the Haliburton Highlands chapter of the Canadian Federation of University Women, is preparing and promoting an upcoming vigil on the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women on Saturday, December 6th, on the trail across from the Haliburton Highlands Museum. It will give residents a chance to remember those women who died and to support those who have or are experiencing abuse now. Canoe FM met with Stewart on the path to learn more about the vigil and its significance.
This is the pathway that leads to a tree, and it's sort of been adopted by CFUW as a way of inviting members to join. We hang invitations on the tree at Christmas time, but has also become the location for our annual vigil to honor and remember all of the women that were, the 14 women that were killed at École Polytechnique on December 6th, 1989. And so December 6th has become the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. And we walk this path in memory of them and put on a vigil, which involves the naming of each of the women with their photograph tied with a white ribbon to the tree, and that the white ribbon is symbolic and used to acknowledge this national day.
The facts are staggering. On average, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner every 6 days. In 2022, 184 women and girls were killed by violence, a sharp increase from previous years. Indigenous women and girls face exceptionally high rates of violence. They are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing than other women in Canada. An estimated 67% of Canadians say they personally know at least one woman who has been sexually or physically assaulted. Stewart says that's why the vigil is so critically important.
So that is the link between what we are doing now with this vigil, honoring women that were murdered in 1989, a long time ago, but also taking time to give thought to the women that have been murdered ever since then and every year, with the violence against women continuing. And in rural areas where we are, it is even worse. The OPP say that the violence against women in rural areas is like 75% of the violence. It happens partly because of the isolation in a rural area.
And the dependence, yeah.
Stewart says the vigil is a way to stand up for the women who were killed, but also for the women in our region and across Canada who have or are experiencing intimate partner abuse. She hopes the community will come out to the vigil to learn, to show respect, and to work towards ending violence against all women.
Well, we have to be diligent, and we have to be hopeful, and we have to fight back. And we are working much harder this year than even we did last year at bringing a voice to ending gender-based violence, violence against women, intimate partner violence. It really needs to stop. I mean, it is known that the women at Eco Polytechnique, I mean, they were killed for no reason other than that they were female. It's unfortunate that the violence continues, but we are going to be doing this vigil every year. We will not forget, and we will keep working to end gender-based violence. We're welcoming the whole community and everybody, men, women, children, please come.
Stewart's commitment to the vigil and ending violence against women comes from her own personal journey. An engineer herself, the killings in 1989 struck close to home. That's why she's on a mission to bring education and awareness to the issue of violence against women.
It does feel somber, certainly as we are walking towards the tree. It's quiet, except for the noise of our footsteps. And when we get to the tree, it's somber as we read out the names of each person and take the moment to hang their photograph on the tree where it will stay for the winter season. And the music often moves people to tears. I am an engineer myself, so I was working in the engineering field when this happened. And I was able to attend a vigil most of my life because I lived in Calgary, a bigger city. And when I came here, I wanted to see it happen,